Hello and welcome to whatever number this is of the Friendly Geordies podcast. This is Jordan speaking. I do not keep tabs on numbers. That's not what I do. I don't even intro these things normally, but the room is still filled with tension from last week when we had what started out as a fake fight on air. It got pretty real, pretty fast. And Robbie, you were supposed to edit out the parts that were too real. Somebody did get it correct in the comments section that was saying there are parts of this that even if it's fake, it hurts way too much.
Yeah.
And I know that everybody got their feelings hurt, but on listening back to it, Tom definitely suffered the brunt of it.
I think that's absolutely true.
No. You must be having a... You've got to be having another laugh, don't you? Obviously.
Well,
there's no way.
What, like you had at Tom's expense last week? That was pretty shocking.
Right, come on. This is another episode. We're doing it for real this time. Okay.
Yeah.
We are.
What are you talking about?
Well, we've got it queued up for you to play the mystery segment that we wouldn't allow you to listen to. But would you like to just play that for us? Because we think that this is honestly the most abhorrent thing a friend could say to another friend. Play it.
It was, I swear.
Jordan, you listen to me. Okay. This man over here, he's a filthy fucking liar.
Yeah, alright. Can you play that again?
One more time.
Play it again.
Just so everyone knows what a monster you are.
I cannot believe this.
It was, I swear.
Jordan, you listen to me. Okay. This man over here, he's a filthy fucking liar.
Oh. Oof. The visceral in fucking.
This is outrageous.
He's honestly been your friend since the beginning of high school, when you had none at school, probably getting wedgies, the guy that everyone was aiming for in dodgeball.
Under my
and
wing.
Now look at you, the guy that everyone verbally aims at on a podcast.
That was nothing compared to what you guys said to me. I left that thing raw.
What did I say to you?
All to hear, just to expose the vitriol. That it was awful. It was awful listening back to that.
Yeah, but we
it?
Agreed on certain things that were okay and other things that weren't.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, in a lot of ways, I think you guys overstepped the mark. I don't really know.
Do you have any examples at all?
Give me an example.
Queued up so we can listen to them.
Has to be queued.
Otherwise, they don't count.
Not right now, I don't. But like,
yeah, of course you don't. No, because you don't do anything, do you?
Back into it. But yeah, so I think, yeah, I think it's unfair because a lot of it was
pre-thought out,
and a few bits weren't there.
For anybody that doesn't know what's going on, okay, just tell them. So we did this hypnosis episode 2 episodes ago with Isaac Lohman. He's an Adelaide's finest hypnotist, right? Me and Tom organised for Jordan to be hypnotised and to give away the podcast to me and Tom, and he would do Tre Bien. Last week, we did that,
yep.
And then it sort of devolved into
madness.
Into sort of what you heard before. It was just a very tense kind of thing. And we'd sort of discussed ways in which we would take that direction, you know, in that sort of, you know, kind of aggressive territory, right?
But why don't we say things that are real but not hurtful? Those were the guidelines.
Yeah.
You overstepped that.
No.
I never lie, all right?
It's not
and
true.
And to swear.
I didn't have three of your tuners. I had two of
you
your tuners.
You cunt.
Seriously,
Robbie, you know that that's a joke. I don't actually think you're a cunt. But it sounded too real. It was way too much. Can you just apologise to him so everything's cleared?
I feel like I deserve an apology.
For what? You have no cues. None.
If you had something queued up.
I could get something.
But would it be all ears, all right?
I could get something up like very quickly. It's just
No, we're recording now.
Had to be pre-queued.
I can't believe this. We just did a whole episode yelling at you for not being prepared. You promised that you'd step your game up. And now you're asking us while we're recording for some free time where we chat amongst ourselves and you find something ridiculous.
I don't know. I
apologize to Tom.
I don't feel comfortable. Honestly, I don't feel comfortable.
All right.
Apologizing for what I feel was a complete whitewash. Well, I mean, you can listen back. It's the most brutal thing you'll ever bear witness to.
To Tom. Yeah. To Tom.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh, he's crying now.
Oh, yeah, well,
unlike your fake crocodile tears last week, which is actually true. To everybody listening, Robbie legitimately did cry.
He did not.
Spot. Tom.
Bullshit.
But Tom's the bigger man. He doesn't need tears to get his point across.
Different
He's
people.
Being stoic about this and asking as a friend that even if you don't feel that you've done anything wrong, shouldn't you apologize just for hurting his feelings?
Or just to get us all back on the same page. You know, we'll all be friends. Just apologize. We'll move on. All right? Is that okay?
Why don't we both apologize to each other at the same time?
What about this, Robbie? I'm going to keep to my original intention of last week, saying that you're not allowed to speak in this podcast until you act like a man and apologize to your friend. Grow up.
All right, so first segment will be Who Am I? So,
not doing
you
it.
Guys at... You know what?
You bloody well are.
Not doing it.
You know what? Oh, my Lord.
If you don't shut up right now, this is the last pod you will ever be on.
All right, so Robbie, I know you can't respond now, but...
He's moved away from the mic. Yeah. He doesn't trust himself.
His lips are sealed. He's closing his lips with a lot of difficulty.
I don't know why I want to be on this anymore, to be honest.
Get away from me! Get away from
me! I don't know what I'm holding my peace for.
Move. Stop it. Stop it. Stop talking, please. Please. Just apologize.
We can't handle another round of abuse from you.
Just please. Tom, please, just apologize to me.
I've been in fear all week, Robbie, from that. We live rooms away from each other. I've had to put my chair against the door in case you come in at night.
All right, let's just go to the next scene.
Okay. Yes, which means that you have to move away. Squeak the mic away from your face. Go on, you say sorry. And don't ask Tom for an apology either.
And you have a segment that you're wanting to do later today, so I hope there's an apology before.
I'm sorry.
No, until you mean it.
No, I'll... All right. Tom, look at me in the eyes. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're an asshole. You're an asshole. Look at you.
Stop it, Robbie. Don't take your anger out of your failed life on Tom.
Okay. Okay, all right. Look me in the eyes. Look me in the eyes. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You bastard.
It's so
sucks shit, mate.
Oh my God.
You piece of crap. Look at his stupid little Speedo shorts where he's obviously trying to make his penis look bigger than what it is.
Oh my God.
Laughing at Tom. Who's the real joke, mate?
All right, let's please start our segments.
I've said it, so I can talk.
You said right?
No, get away. I've said it. Say sorry to
you
him.
You say it honestly later on, but well, let's just move on. All right. Okay, so who am I? It's a game we're playing every week where we play. It's like 20 questions in the car. And we have the person in our collective minds, the three of us, and
forgot who it was.
Well, remind you after the show.
Thank you.
So you guys voted in as your first question. Usually it's a thing like, are you a man? Are you a woman? Something broad, but you are really knuckling down to specifics and you're asking, are you an Aspie? And we're responding with a resounding, is there a music cue?
No.
We're not an Aspie.
What a waste of a question. Yeah. Although there is no numerical limit to the questions.
Yeah.
Keep it serious.
Yeah.
I hope that clarified things. You are not the guest of episode 32,342 of Oprah Winfrey's Help Me, Oprah segment.
All right, so we're going to play... No, we're not doing that. Now we're talking about Paul Keating. So, do you want to...
Delightful. Well, as we've got here...
Yeah.
The intro to Snoop Dogg's Blue Carpet Treatment album. Highly critically underrated and also completely underrated by his fans. I think pretty much I'm the only person on earth that likes it apart from Snoop Dogg. Great album. So what we're talking about is... Been reading Paul Keating's biography.
Mm.
Everybody's always giving him flack who's not a Paul Keating fan, much like the man that wrote in on radio saying, "Get over it, Paul Keating's not a good guy." Had zero facts to back that up, just wanted me to change my entire life opinion on who I personally think is the greatest Prime Minister in Australia, like that. Well, I've got news for you, mate. Yes, he is.
He's great. That? Oh, shut.
You ruining it.
Oh, my God. Just a ruining fake the laugh. Scene. I've never.
Dejected little man. You are a small little man, aren't you, Robbie? You may be tall and gangly in appearance, but it just hides a gnome, a little fucking gnome.
All right. He's calling to for us to stop. Okay, Jordan, keep going. All right.
Now you have to apologise to me too, Robbie.
Okay, so...
So everybody's always saying, well, Paul Keating's not a good guy because if it wasn't for Paul Keating reintroducing laws about media ownership in Australia, Rupert Murdoch would have never got 70% of the newspapers. That was Paul Keating's call. Yeah, it was. But in those days, Rupert Murdoch used to change between favouring Labor and Liberal governments. He was purely a businessman. That is far different to what the media landscape was back then. The Rupert Murdoch of the day was a collection of newspapers that always favoured the Liberal Party. The only time they didn't favour the Liberal Party, they stayed objective. They didn't even say that Labour had the better policies in this election. Completely stuck out of it. It was just the Liberal Party was so abysmally bad. This was under William McMahon, who, interesting tidbit, is the father of the guy that's in Nip Tuck, whose name escapes me because that was years ago.
Wow.
And everyone forgot about it. And it used to have great reception, won heaps of Emmys, and then in the third season, everyone was going, okay, this is getting a bit silly.
Wow.
So... So someone who's mildly famous, William McMahon, was that... So anyway... So, they, yeah, so, the media landscape used to be that, which was what Rupert Murdoch is now. But back then, Kerry Packer and Rupert Murdoch were the upstarts in the Australian media landscape. So, it would have made much more sense to give those guys the opportunity, because they were cashed up, but didn't have the, under the current media laws, position to buy those people out and push them out of the landscape.
Mm.
So, it would have actually been more objective corporate media coverage. Paul Keating had a choice between, you know, a rock and a hard place, and he chose the hard place. And I think we all would. Just as a quick round, Robbie, oh, that's right, you can't talk. Tom, what would you choose between a rock and a hard place if you had to? Let's put an end to this age-old, stupid discussion. It's like, out of the fire and into the frying pan. I'd prefer the frying pan.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
a more even burn.
The hard place.
An extreme tan, if you will.
Yeah, I take the hard place, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's what Fred Flintstone slept on. Mm. A hard place. Made out of rock.
Funny tidbit.
So by Paul Keating choosing that, actually gave Labor fair media coverage and proves historically... For the first time, all throughout Federation, Conservative parties have been in about 70% of the time because, obviously, the corporatocracy favours the Conservatives. Labor only ever able to sneak through victories here and there when the population finally realised that it was a ruse through all of the biased media coverage. But in that small little window, they were able to prove that the Labor Party is a far more effective government through all of the economic records of tripling the GDP under Keating, of also increasing everybody's real wages 42%. Isn't that incredible? In the same period that America was only able to increase its real wages by 1%, ours risen 42%. He was deemed the greatest treasurer in the world, still holds that today. No other world leader has been able to secure 25 years of uninterrupted growth for the economy,
Wow. Purposely
set up by Paul Keating. He was the reason that we didn't go into a recession.
Yeah.
Because he put the right restrictions on the banks.
Didn't we have a recession? It was the recession we had to have. Wasn't that him?
Yeah, under him, which was a much smaller recession than the global financial crisis, which I think crunched through $15 trillion of money within 2 weeks. It just disappeared like that.
Wow.
Out of Europe, out of the US, completely gone, as well as millions and millions of jobs. All of this money sucked out of the economy. The world was on the verge of collapse. And in that same period, all the Liberal Party could nail on the Labour Party was, some of your stimulus checks went to dead people. What a waste of money. In that period, where you were trying to secure Australia from the worst economic conditions since the Great Depression, you, Kevin Rudd, should have been ringing up every single person in Australia and checking whether or not they're dead. Yeah. That was the only objection they could possibly muster to this. A ridiculous notion. And that was all set up by Paul Keating. Historical fact. You can definitely look up these figures. This is not exaggeration. From one guy. And it was because he was given that window of opportunity. And if we are able to teach that to our kids at school, which will never, ever happen, but if we can just tell everyone, this is the economic record of Labour when they're in for an extended period of time. This was the economic record of the Liberal Party under 40 years of rule. They basically turned us into a state of stagflation. How the hell do you get that? Where inflation is going up and the economy is stagnant. That defies all economic odds. They screwed up on both ends. Mm. And they're the ones that are known as the strong economic managers. They're not strong economic managers. They just support big business. That is not the same as looking after the economy.
Well, isn't it that the Howard government gets all the credit for Keating's work because Keating gets out and then his budget kind of, the boom happens, and then also the, yeah, Keating's like economy is like in place by that point.
Keating's one regret was always that, I just wish I won that 96 election, because then it'll be so apparent that bloody Costello woke up with a rainbow under his ass.
It's awesome seeing him talk. He's so good at that. He's such
most lucid speaker.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great about him as well, is that there's a few great men throughout history. There's probably Paul Keating, Eminem,
Genghis Khan.
He's all right. Shut up, Robbie. No. Genghis Khan is officially scrapped from that record purely because Robbie said that.
Sorry, Genghis Khan. Yeah.
You're out. So it just starts with two people, Eminem and Paul Keating.
The two greatest men who have ever lived.
There's something about the hustle of a man with a very lucid language.
Mm.
That's able to encapsulate people. And you can see it in all of his old press conferences when he's speaking. The entire press gallery, whether they be from the Murdoch papers, the papers that were even more conservative than the Murdoch papers that existed beforehand, all of them absolutely enamored. There's this great piece of audio where one of them picks up their, from the West Australian Advocate or whatever, puts up his hand and said, why is there a pay rise for politicians? And he just goes through, goes like, well, it's exactly the same thing as it is with every other public servant. It just goes up with a normal pay rate with everybody else. That's the kind of nonsense question you would expect from the worst newspaper in Australia, the West Australian. Sit down.
Well, you can find that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Just so good at that. That's like, there's two reasons for why they were allowed in that period. And the first is that he gave that power to Rupert Murdoch and Kerry Packer. Huge trade-off, but you do have to make these decisions in power.
Mm.
And was a better decision at the time, undisputably. But the second one is that he's able to capture people's imaginations and put it into a different realm. And that's something that you do not see in any leader. Possibly Gough Whitlam had it, but really not the same clinch hold on the English language as Paul Keating had.
But he didn't, though, right? Because he only had one term. Like, he was pretty old, kind of. You know, he lost his...
5 years.
Yeah.
Long, twice the length of Gough Whitlam.
Really?
Gough Whitlam was in for 2.5 years.
Oh, yeah, of course, right. But I mean, like, he didn't cap... Because he didn't win the 96 election, right? Like, Howard beat him. Like, it's just annoying that people just didn't, like, get up to scratch with Keating in time.
But actually, when I was talking to... Even my grandma will admit this, and she's your classic... The only time she's ever voted for the Labour Party was she used to vote for Hawke because he looks like a nice guy. That kind of voter.
Mm.
When you tell her the economic figures under Keating, she'll go, yeah, Keating was great. There's no denying it. Liberals will begrudgingly accept that Keating was a boss. Yeah. They will not accept that Gough Whitlam is, and it's because it's undeniable. Undeniable Keating was a sick Prime Minister. This is all about that text I received 2 weeks ago. I've been stewing about it since. Just shut up.
All right, let's move on then. Radio guess game.
Yeah, all right, look. Okay, Jordan.
I'm sorry, Tom. I'm sorry, okay.
Just, he's waving his hands in this kind of obviously sarcastic tone.
Making cartoonish eyes with his already enlarged eyes from his Coke bottle glasses.
Yeah, the annoying thing about this is people are going to hear this and think, oh, poor Robbie, they're being so mean to him. But if they could just see his face, they would know that this is the most sarcastic treatment.
And he's just been sitting there virtually heckling the show.
Yeah, pretending to fake laugh at everything on every turn.
I've had to move my face away from him so I can't even see his ridiculous hair in the periphery of my vision.
Yeah,
it's had to be focused entirely on my golden son, Tom.
The one that did nothing bad the last couple of weeks.
I've said what you want.
Innocent zoo animal that he is. Yeah. And this awful, awful savage of a man that sneaks into zoos and steals meerkats to eat.
Yeah, think about that next time you write Pray for Robbie, huh?
Oh, for goodness sake. This
put down in the memes if you think that Robbie is to blame here. Put in the Hamburglar holding up a place with a gun. And if you believe that Tom's in the right.
In the right.
Just don't say anything.
Don't say anything. And so every human being that exists in the world counts as a vote for Tom.
Yeah.
At the end of that. So we'll see who's Spare right me. Or not.
Yeah. Okay, so how does Radio Guess Game work? Robbie, do you want to explain it?
Wasn't it Jordan was going to tell us about the name of a country radio host. And
yeah.
We were going to say what we thought about it. And we also had this track lined up for that.
Yep.
All right. Radio Guess Game back here. On wherever the hell we are. Somewhere where you see a lot of those bales of hay that are... They've got that light green tarp around them.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of area. Okay, so here's what happens. I'm going to tell you a radio duo that I know of in a regional area that very rarely gets any radio surveys. I think FBI gets more than these guys do, to give you a fair idea. So, these guys used to be on radio. I don't know what happened to them, but whoever I think is more accurate in their portrayal of what they think Flack and the Rod are, which are the names. The names are the Rod and the Flack.
Okay.
That was their names. They used to be on Central Coast Radio, Star 104.5.
Yeah, yeah.
So, whoever is the most correct gets the honorary nickname renamed on this podcast for the rest of the podcast's history. They will be officially called the afternoon host that used to be on there. They will be called the Big Kahuna.
Okay.
So instead of Tom, it'll be Big K. Or if it's Robbie, Big Kahuna. You don't get the nickname because we're still very mad at you.
All right, well, I don't want to be called that, so I guess...
No, you have a little interchange with the Black Eyed Peas music.
And, oh, okay.
And so, Robbie, you're the Flack, and Tom, you're the Rod.
Oh, so whoever's closest to impersonating them, it gets the nickname.
Yeah, so you just...
The Flack and who's...
But you have to put on a different voice, Tom. Don't sit there in your usual beanbag-like self.
Okay, I'll put some effort in.
Okay, so who's the Flack?
You're the Flack,
I'm
Flack.
I'm the Rod. Okay, go.
And you're on Star 104.5. Make sure you tag it.
G'day, you're listening to Star 104.5 in your afternoon. We got Flack and the Rod in the studio. How you going, Roddy?
Hey, Flack. How's it going?
Good. Have you seen the new movie, How to Be Single?
Yeah, I've seen that. Did you love it like I did?
Yeah, I went with the old missus and she thought it was a bit of an all right. I got the medium popcorn. They charged me an arm and a bloody leg, though. That's not Flack-like. Have you heard that before?
All right. Okay. Cut the music. Tom, you purposefully put on a woman's voice. You know that the Rod is obviously supposed to be a man.
I don't know that. Why do I know that?
You know. Don't pretend that you didn't. That was so apparent, I didn't even need to specify what the genders were.
Surely. No, well, you didn't say that. And surely that was very inaccurate, right?
Yeah, it was very inaccurate because you don't want to be called the Big Kahuna. Well, and I mean, I'd really like to award it to you purely on that basis, but somebody who's constantly wearing an Oregon police hat doesn't look like a big kahuna. Someone, however, who has the most hateable hair on the planet with, with this ridiculous Hawaiian shirt. Far too loud, as if you start that many parties.
Big kahuna.
You are obviously the big kahuna.
Me?
So, from now on, Robbie, you're not called Robbie. Anybody who says that on the podcast's comments from now on will be officially banned from the Facebook page. So, you better be listening to this. This is retroactive as well. Anybody who's ever mentioned that he's Robbie is banned from the podcast. Just banned.
This is not...
You've got to go back into your own comments and delete. And then just like in Stalinist Russia, replace Robbie with Big Kahuna. Don't even dare try Big K. That was for Tom.
It does make sense, though, with your shirt, because it is quite like a Hawaiian look. Is Big Kahuna Hawaiian or Spanish?
I'm pretty sure it's Hawaiian, and also that guy was such a great human being. Red, that real redneck central Queensland look with Robbie's Hawaiian shirt on, except for three times the size of Robbie. Now, that's a big kahuna.
So, what were they like, Rod and the other one?
Yeah, how'd they do it?
They were pretty standard, really.
Oh my god.
They were pretty much you, just always talking about movies they saw. When Julia Gillard was in town, would say, "Ring up Julia Gillard, we're always here for a chat." Julia Gillard wouldn't ring him up.
Yeah, right. All right, so...
And now we're going to talk about transgender issues, because Tom wants to offend some people.
Thank you very much, Big Kahuna, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for that. Alright, so this is like Taboo Tightrope, a long-lasting segment that we've been doing where...
that everybody loves, even though they don't really ever get to hear the segment and the juicy bits. We always cut it out. So they only ever get to hear when we're actually moving on to an interesting point, and then they'll just hear the 5 a.m. Anzac honorary trumpet sound, followed by a really stagnant beep. It's what you would hear if the world was splitting apart by an earthquake, and then the anchor that's on there just goes like, "It's been an absolute privilege speaking to you for the last 20 years on KVI FM."
Yeah, so it's... I'm not seeking to offend anyone, but it's kind of an interesting thing to talk about, because I don't think it's these things, these topics that we try and pick, which are things that are just so politically incorrect or things that you just can't discuss anywhere. It becomes kind of frustrating because you obviously think about it, but you're just unable to talk about it because it's just it's too much. Like, you can't even bring up the topic without getting slammed in some way. So this is the space where we do that. And we're just all mates here, so no offense, please.
And as a mate, can I just say, Tom, so brave. This is how... if I thought this, and I'm not saying I do, would not have the courage to do a Big Kahuna. Your thoughts?
I think you're a pretty courageous guy for doing this.
Thanks, man.
And
so, really, just a recap of my thoughts.
And no, I was going to say
times two.
I was also going to say, if you are offended, let us know in the comments section. It's just sort of paint Tom's face in a variety of offensive ways, and memes and pictures and such.
And if you aren't offended, put up Andy Warhol's famous cans of soup to show that this is really at the cutting edge, real frontier shit.
Yeah, so, okay.
Well,
firstly, I think the fact that this is something to be scared about talking about is the first sign that we're in a bad place, I think. Because think about all the other things we've spoken about in the past and how this one is the one that we've been avoiding because it's just too hardcore to talk about it. But, yeah, so that's the first problem, I think.
It is true. For weeks, we've been thinking of a way that we can breach this subject. Mostly from Tom's insistence, I have to say. But you're right.
Yeah.
Until now, Robbie and I have censored it entirely.
Mm. But
Big Kahuna, sorry.
Sorry, I was just going to say, weirdly, the way we sort of got into it, I'd say, is probably through Joe Rogan's podcast, right? Like, he sort of talked about the Caitlyn Jenner thing.
Yeah, exactly.
In a very refreshing way at the time, it seemed, and it sort of ignited some...
Well, the way we were wanting to talk about it was talking about the regressive left, which is something we've probably mentioned in the past, which is, like, a term that's been coined for, like, these kind of well, we were saying today, it's kind of these certain topics where people that have really left, like, social, like, ideologies seem to get trapped in this kind of, like, confused corner. So, we were talking about, like, Ronda Rousey, how the, like, the UFC fighter, how because she's, you know, like, her breakdown on Ellen the other day, how she's, you know, a woman and it's, like, great that women are, you know, doing, you know, things that usually men are seen doing and that kind of thing.
There's an extra layer of filth to this, that this was on Ellen.
Yeah, 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 true. But yeah,
so gross.
But just like that kind of confused state you're in, where you're like, I really want to support her because she's a woman and that's really great, but at the same time, like, UFC is clearly like an awful activity where people are getting like incredibly brain damaged, and it's like, it's just like not a, like, how do you like balance the two?
Where in- and in every instance, the regressive left will always disfigure the logical argument and go full tilt all in with the emotive, stupid argument. Yeah. The clear, like, if you thought about it for 3 seconds, a kindergartner would go, not that one. Yeah. That's the one they choose.
Yeah. So there's heaps of them. Like, the one that I'm most passionate about would be like the whole Islam one, where, you know, people just, like the ban the burqa thing. Like, I don't support banning the burqa, but there's kind of a clash in ideology because women want women to be, you know, freedom of expression, like freedom to, you know, dress how they choose. And but then at the same time, it's like, you know, this problem of, you know, how do you connotate women's rights and then like also a cultural respect when the culture might be, you know, damaging to women's rights. It's like it contradicts each other, and then it's like becomes this really weird stepping, you know, this eggshell ground where you don't know what to do.
Just your classic idiot friend who will disagree with something like the lockout law, say it's the greatest tragedy the world has ever seen. I mean, yeah, I played that card. Went massively viral today by doing that, but that's because I knew that the regressive left would love that line of argument of, this is an outrage. There's such bigger outrages in the world, including with this argument with the burqa, for instance. Obviously, you should err on the side of progressing society. They don't choose that. They choose, no, you should respect other people's cultures. Everyone knows a couple of just, I'm going to have to say it here, dickheads like that.
Might have to beat that.
Yeah, well, it is to be tired.
Yeah, no, that's the end of this segment.
Yeah. But it is that's the problem where just it, then the regressive left makes it, like, damages you then by making it impossible to even talk about it. So they choose that you need to respect other cultures as being that's the line of attack, like, that's the line of argument that we're going to have, and no one else can come in here unless, or they're a bigot or whatever it is.
Really into the idea of free speech, but also love shaming people into even voicing their opinion. And so, with that huge disclaimer, Tom, get to the meat of it. Yeah, what on. Do you think? Okay. Tell us what you think.
All right. So, I think that... Tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel as though being a transgendered person has nothing to do with your sexual preference, right? So, like, you always hear of the LGBTQI community, which is, you know, like, gay people, transgendered people, and for some reason, they're always put in this bubble together. But my question is, why are they put in the same bubble? Because, obviously, if you're trans... So, say I'm transgender, it means I identify as a woman. So, I'm a woman, and that's the end of it, right? And say I'm attracted to you, Robbie, then I wouldn't be gay because I'm a woman. I'm a straight woman, right? So my sexual preference and then my gender identity are two, like, separate things. So, I don't get how... Because if I was a transgendered person, I'd be a bit like, you know, I would understand that I'm, like, a minority group, like, gay people are. But I'd be like, what the hell? Like, why am I in the same, like, grouping here? Because you're gay, I'm not gay. Like, if I, on the other hand, said I identify as a woman and then I wanted to have sex with women, then I'd be a gay, transgendered person, and then I could be in the LGB community. But like, that's, don't you think, like, isn't that, what is the
maybe
answer?
Maybe it's to do with gender identification as well, that whole grouping.
Yeah, because that, like, it feels a bit mean almost to men that are gay or women that are gay to say, you're a gay man, so therefore you should be, that this is a gender problem. Like, there's nothing wrong with, there's no gender problem there. You're just, you're
it's
gay, just right?
Well, it's just sort of identifying that
There's gender involved in that equation, though, right?
Yeah, but say if I want to have sex with men or women, I'm a man either way. It's not questioning my gender. Well, if you're transgender, you're changing your gender, but it doesn't change your sexual preference because inside you're a woman or you're a man is the argument, right? So it feels kind of... It does feel just completely separate to me. If you truly take each for each... Like, the reason I think they're together is because originally, if you're like... Oh, like if I'm having sex with a guy and I'm like, no, 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 I'm a woman. They'd be like, no, you're not. You're gay. You're not a woman. You're a guy having sex with a guy. So then they'd be like, you're a gay person. You're in this group. And you'd be like, I'm actually a woman. And they'd be like, what are you talking about? So like that would have been so it makes sense why they are together. But I think if you just logically think about it, I can't actually understand the grouping between the two.
Don't look at me, Tom. I'm not getting involved in this one. Be Kahuna, if you've got any thoughts on these, because I certainly don't.
I suppose
I can't see how that's that outrageous.
I know. Well, you know what? I mean, I think...
Listen to him struggle. Neither of us were expecting this.
It wasn't that bad. I could get worse.
You could go much, much worse, and I highly suggest you don't.
Oh, really? Okay.
Can I please?
Oh, my God, but it's so true. This is what's so annoying about it. What Tom said, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's the tyranny of this bullshit left that always take up these stupid... Nowhere near the real boogeyman, right? They're just going for some really easy base thing that, you know, people with the intelligence of a shrew can understand.
It is actually quite filthy that we cannot just talk about this.
Like, think about it. We can talk about ISIS.
Why can't we talk about stuff?
Yeah.
It's driving me up the fucking wall.
I'm angry. I'm angry.
No, I do. Yeah.
It's time to call it out, though.
Oh, call us spade.
I'll beat that.
That's definitely gone. That is the end of this segment. This is done.
Yeah,
I do have another one that gets a bit worse, though. But maybe I'll just go.
You may as well, because I'm beeping stuff out anyway. So,
all right, my other one is. If you're transgender and it makes you happy, like, you should be allowed to do it. I'm not saying you shouldn't be allowed to do it. I'm just saying it's interesting that...
No, but you brought it up, and that's a good step. Because this is one of those mind-expanding exercises where you realise, even if this turns out to be incorrect and we're completely wrong on it, there are things in our society that we are taught that aren't necessarily true.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a really good point. There's all these little societal beliefs...
Mm.
It's like the 4-minute mile thing. I love that story. For thousands of years, people thought it was impossible for a human being to run a mile in under 4 minutes. And then some doctor med student was going, oh, yeah, I'm just going to see if I can, like, beat it as, like, a just side hobby. Not even a professional runner. Did it.
Yeah.
Ran a mile in under 4 minutes. The next year, 11 people do it.
Yeah, it's just
because for thousands of years there was just this groupthink saying it's impossible, you can't do it. People that were way more able-bodied, some Greek guy that probably had the nickname of Hercules that won 10 gold medals, this guy was going, no, I'm not even going to try that. It's
impossible. It reminds me heaps of this time that I was on a holiday with my family, and we had done a lot of running around the previous day. My legs were absolutely battered. I went down to the beach. I was just feeding... I don't know what I was doing. I was on the beach by the water, and I had a Fiji.
He was doing something gross. he was masturbating on the beach.
So
old ladies, weren't you?
What were you doing?
Yeah, you're into that.
Go on.
I was on the beach, okay? I was young.
Masturbating.
I had a Fiji shirt on, okay? It had a fish on the back. My legs were battered. I could not go downstairs without, you know, sort of wincing in pain. A seagull comes by, starts swooping me, going for the fish that's on my back. swooping. I was absolutely terrified, and so I sprinted across the beach.
With your little fish and chip legs.
And you're like, oh, my battered legs actually can run.
Right to home, to safety, and the seagull... It couldn't keep up, and I got inside safely.
You outran a flying bird.
I outran a swooping, attacking seagull, and my legs were absolutely battered.
I would love to see that.
Honestly. And so that's just... No, but that's a lovely part too to your sentiment. Is that people... You can do things if you really put your mind to it.
No, but I think...
I suppose it is.
But if you apply it though as well, I think also you could then say that... But yeah, if it makes you happy, just, you know, do whatever you want. All right, so.
So, very long, elaborate, and very insincere conclusion. Do whatever you want.
All right, what's wrong with Robbie?
Oh, no, but also, sorry, if you want to just comment Tom's face on Smeagol, if you think it's offensive what he was saying. If you don't.
Put his face on Gollum.
Oh, that's what I meant.
No, Smeagol and Gollum are two different people.
Oh, are they?
There was a court case in the Ukraine about this.
Oh, really? No way.
There was a dictator. It might not have been the Ukraine, actually. I think it was Belarus. That was the last European dictator. One of his workers that worked somewhere in the, say, the train line system or something like that, was posting memes with his face on Smeagol, and then the courts, because it's illegal there to defame the glorious leader of Belarus, so he's fighting a court case at the moment going, I wasn't defaming him, Smeagol's the nice one, Gollum's the evil one. So they had to get through experts, including the director of the Lord of the Rings, I think even Sam from Frodo and Sam. I don't know why he was like,
he's just Gollum.
Not doing anything with his life at the moment.
Oh, oh my God.
Deary man.
They had to put in their opinion and their expert witness testimony to go, is this Smeagol's face or Gollum's face? Yeah, it's definitely Smeagol's, all right.
Surely you wouldn't get like a Tolkien expert or something, wouldn't you?
Just get Colbert.
Colbert did it.
Really?
And he said that it is what is celebrity trial? Smeagol.
Wait, he was on the trial.
No. He, on his own show, just said, guys, like, all jokes aside, clearly Smeagol.
Yeah.
He's smiling. Gollum doesn't smile.
Stephen Colbert, if you're listening, would love to have you on. So, if you're ever in Sydney, hit us up. Stephen Colbert.
Now we're going. He tries a bit hard in interviews.
Stephen Colbert. Oh, my God.
I'm passing on Stephen Colbert. Controversial. Put out a picture of Jon Stewart if you think it's controversial.
For goodness sake.
Too many
tasks.
What have
we become? Next one.
So, What's Wrong with Robbie is a game we're going to play where Robbie and I went to a crazy party yesterday and we're wanting to... We kind of got into a bit of an argument because I was saying this is ridiculous and Robbie's like, I don't think it is ridiculous. So, we're going to ask Jordan what he thinks and... Yeah. That's it.
So find out if find it's okay. Find out. Stay tuned.
And if you're incorrect, if I think that you were being extreme, Robbie, I get to reprimand you, don't I? With your own glasses case, I get to put it on his nutsack and listen to this.
Oh. Did we agree to that?
I don't think we did. No, that's...
It will really hurt.
That's going to go between Robbie's nuts.
Oh, my God. That will hurt a lot.
So, there's a lot of pressure on that.
This is just...
I'm clamping... I'm... literally clamping down on your bullshit, Robbie.
You can tell how much Jordan loves Jackass.
I know, can't you? And how little he likes Austin Powers.
Yeah, which is something I want to bring up right now.
We've already gone through that. It's fine. We'll leave that. Okay, so basically yesterday, all right, we were at Praise for this big dance festival. We're going to go watch some DJs, have a bit of a dance.
Yeah, so we went with a friend of Robbie's to this house full of British people.
British people. We talked about chavs. We had some beer. Somebody cut their hair.
Yeah, I wanted to tell Jordan about it too.
Crazy party.
Yeah. So, what's the thing? So, in Australia, we have lads, and in England, they have chavs, and chavs are kind of identified by a certain type of criminal record that they get.
Oh, yeah.
It's called a, what is it? Like a hovo or something?
I honestly can't remember, but yeah, it's something like that. It's some sort of abbreviation like that, a oboe, something.
Yeah, so it's
caution,
like
a warning sort
of
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like kind of your license to be a chav is if you have to, essentially have a criminal record.
And how early you can have that is like, you know, if you don't have it, you're not one of them. But
they're saying it's like losing your virginity. Like if you get your criminal record at like 25, you're like kind of a loser chav. But if you got it at 12, you're a really cool chav.
That's... so filthy.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, one of these girls that was at this party was an old chav. Like, she was an ex-chav, and so it was really interesting talking to her.
So she has a criminal record, but she's reformed now.
Yeah, but she was saying it's really dumb, though, because they do it county by county. So if you just get the criminal record in one county, then you just need to make sure you don't do anything bad in that county anymore, and you just move to the next county. Anyway, we were there, and it was a few streets away from where we live, and we're, you know, we've had a few drinks, and Will, Robbie's friend, had just made us scrambled eggs and salmon. So we've just eaten.
Very nice.
It's great. It was quite a big meal.
Okay. No, I mean, it wasn't a big meal. It was not a big meal, but it was nice.
And we're thinking, like, all right, we're going to head off soon. We're going to go in. And Robbie's like, oh, actually, could we go home, which is like a 5-minute walk away.
Less. Yeah.
And get a hot cross bun.
So I've just got hot cross buns at home. So I was just going to. So I had scrambled eggs and salmon. It was nice, small. There's no like real staying power in that meal though.
But
so
everyone, I really hate thinking about Robbie's stomach.
It's so much.
What a grotesque assortment.
Just Nutella,
salmon, eggs, Nutella. Probably some hundreds of thousands in there.
Yeah, it was
that
just
he would
stomach
count
is
as
lined.
Greens because some of the hundreds and thousands are green.
But don't you think it's a bit strange if we're all heading off to this party, like it's a pre thing, and then he wants to run home to grab a hot cross bun? Is that not wrong?
It is wrong, but it's not out of the ordinary for Robbie. It is personally right for the big kahuna to do that.
But it would be wrong for anyone else to do it, right?
I suppose if somebody else was to do it, I would be like, oh, that's a little bit odd. If I didn't know where they lived. Okay. Now that's the kicker, is we really do live like 1 minute away. Walk.
But you held up the party. So you could eat a hot cross bun.
Oh, and most definitely did not hold the party. No way. No, no.
Tom, did he?
Well, we had to go. We did go home. No, hot cross bun.
The party, I mean.
So you bought the party with you.
No, no, no.
Just so you could get an Easter treat.
We left the rest of the party. They went elsewhere so we could get the hot cross bun, and then we met them later.
Yeah.
How are you looking at me, Robbie, as if you've done nothing wrong?
What do you mean?
I don't understand the innocence in your
eyes.
Okay,
all right.
Are you that daft?
What?
Okay, let's change it. How about this one? Just before we started the pod, we went to get a mother each.
Oh, we haven't spoken about this.
Do you think it's wrong if you're like, oh, so you going to go get mothers? And we're like, yeah, do you want one? And he's like, oh, no, I don't want one. But yeah, I'll just have a couple of sips of yours, though.
Time to clamp.
No, no way. There is no.
Get out your nuts. Get them out.
No, can I just...
Get them out in front of all the people at FBI
and show them.
Let me say my piece, please. Okay.
Oh, absolutely not.
Go on.
Get out your nuts.
Why do I have to get them out? Can't I just do it? Come on, just do it on my butt cheek.
It's just not the same point. It's not the same page.
Just do it on my butt cheek. Come on.
We agreed to this beforehand, Robbie.
No, we most certainly did not.
I mentally agreed with it with an imaginary figure of you that looked a lot like you, and that counts in my head.
This is an outrage. This is an outrage. No, I just need to say about the drinking thing is that I totally... I understand the sentiment, I do, of... But at least I'm being upfront about it. If it would be...
What?
No, no, no.
It doesn't make it... I suppose, like, on an honesty, but this is way down. This is way down on the moral perspective. At least you are honest about your... You're a seagull. You're a human seagull, Robbie. You're taking, like, little tiny skerricks of other people's stuff.
And we were saying as well, if anyone's wondering if we're friends now, this is surely as confirmation that we are. Because I've given you about a few sips of my drink.
And guess what? That's total bullshit.
What do you mean you have?
You didn't give me any of that.
Oh,
you
my
are now
Lord.
Saying it on the air like you didn't. You didn't give me a single skerrick of that.
How dare you lie like that? Filthy fucking liar.
See, it hurts, doesn't it, Robbie?
I'm out of here.
Your nuts are going to hurt. Get them out.
You can't leave.
No.
Cue up the Champagne Showers music.
We've got more segments.
We've got more segments, mate.
Doesn't matter. Cue it.
What?
It's just perfect for moments like this. Whenever Robbie gets hurt, what right. song's better?
Yeah, but this isn't
I mean,
end.
We're all LMFAOing, so it's, you know, the artist is right.
Here, come over here. Just do it there. Come on.
Okay, that is not your...
Just do it.
Why
on his
ass. Mini mosquito bites on your butt?
That's weird.
What?
There's mosquito bites all over your butt.
Why do they love that?
There's only mosquitoes in our lounge room. How do they get on your butt?
Tom, look at this. I know it looks like...
There are people in the fucking studio.
Just do it. What are you doing? We're recording this thing.
Just go. Ready, set, go.
Oh! He went around to try and get him in the nuts.
Oh, God. I can't believe it.
Okay, segment six.
This is just...
I felt it. Not. I'm pretty sure I got the peen, though.
The peen?
But a good second prize. Going for nuts.
Did it hurt, Robbie, or you're
all right? Jeez. Beggars can't be choosers, right?
I'm fine.
How do you miss mosquito bites all over?
You could really feel the tendons in it go...
Oh, my Lord.
What are you doing?
He's in shock.
Okay, so we're talking
about... Did I play showers? My headphones were off.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Great.
Yeah.
We could move on.
Yeah. All right, we're talking about this just before we started, which is we're talking about privilege. So, Jordan has a theory that if you're privileged, you can't be a good person. Is that it?
Full stop. Yeah.
Which I disagree with because I think I know privileged people that are good people.
Name them.
Just like directly name their names?
Or? Yeah, shout them out.
Oh, God, it's a bit harder than I thought.
See, Robbie. There's no one. There is no one that has a great life that was thrust upon them.
What do you mean a great life?
Human being. Somebody that just... What?
All right, stop this. Stop. Okay. I don't know why... I don't know what we're doing right now, but, like, Tom just goes, ask a question. He's got his hand in his brow. It's looking so pained and just dejected and just bored.
With his Oregon police.
You know, he's like, drawing on his face.
I'm not bored.
And he's
we've done the transgender
number
chat.
Five shadow beard.
Got his hat.
You're a PE teacher that's not the head of the PE department. Yeah. Christ, another PD where I have to explain how to put on a condom.
No, it's just I know that you're going to say something which is just outrageous.
You look like J-Lo, mate. With that
J-Lo!
What the? I can't imagine J-Lo wearing a lot of cheap caps.
Thanks.
All right, so explain
tell us your theory.
Being really pro the police. J-Lo would love them. So my theory is, if you have this general feeling that you have something to fall back on, so a really good stat is that 88% of company owners, their son works in their company. That can't be... By pure coincidence, this family is just genealogically predisposed to being great at insurance writing. It is pure nepotism. Let's call it for what it is. Meaning, they are no way the most qualified person to have that job. And the fact that they can sit there going, yeah, because Dad's just going to give me a job, means that they can sit on their ass and play way more PlayStation than the average human being, and not even to a pro level where you get to say PewDiePie's godlike status at the console.
Yeah, right.
You just, yeah, I'm bored of that now. I'll just try and find like a hot chick and say, I'll give you $500 to show me your tits.
Yeah, I guess my... Because I, like I said before, I think it's a thing, though, where it's not... If you're not wealthy or privileged, you're still... You would do that if you could. You just can't do it. So, as a person, on a person of, like, how good of a person they are kind of level, I don't really see how you're a better person just because you don't have the means to exploit...
But great people are made. They're not born, Tom.
Yeah. Like Genghis Khan.
It's like Genghis Khan.
He had to kill his brother.
True, yeah, true.
And, of course, Nero.
Yeah, yeah.
If we really think about that terrible example, was the sixth in line of a family dynasty of emperors. And this is the kind of person that you get when you have a dynasty. Rome is burning. He's the ruler. And he's sitting there playing a lyre, watching the world's greatest city burn.
That is so heavy.
Just using it as his muse to inspire beautiful music, yeah. Which was terrible, by the way. Here's a little Rome Total War segment for you guys. Don't ask for one in the comments. Say, you didn't say one. Yeah, we did.
There it is.
He used to get amphitheatres of Greek people because he was always saying, only the Greeks really appreciate what a great artist I am. But he was, again, terrible at everything because he just lived this life of privilege. But he used to force 5,000 Greeks to sit there and applaud his awful playing because he was in that position.
Yeah.
This is what I always see of kids that have this privileged background. They think they're great at everything to a level that most people don't, because they've had knockbacks in their lives when people have been saying, no, that's awful. But because they, everyone knows that they're the son of so-and-so, everybody's always going, oh, good on you, Timmy. That's great. This societal fear that enshrouds them like a cloud of, like a good form of leprosy.
Yeah. I don't know. I think kids sometimes, they will be, you know, disillusioned a bit by their parents' wealth. Like, I know a few people that are really well off and then have kind of tried to escape that. You know, like, our friend Jake, for instance, is, you know, not at all trying to become, like, a, you know, a rich doctor like his dad or whatever, or that kind of thing, where it's a... I'm sure he looks up to him and stuff, but it's not a... They see their wealth and they see that it's not necessarily a great thing, so they try and seek value in other things. Well, I know a lot of people that are younger that have the illusion that money is where the, you know, where the happiness is, so they work really hard to achieve that, but their values are completely in the wrong place, you know? Like, and they just will never know it. Like, what's that quote from that person who... I can't remember who said it, but it was something like, the one thing I wish on for everyone is to have, you know, great wealth and, like, to have as much money as they possibly can so they can realize how, you know, as soon as they can, so they can have that experience and then realize that it's worth nothing and then go on to seek greater things. Like, if you come from wealth, you can learn that very quick.
See, these are all these thoughts from the upper class that have been wrought throughout history. It is truly a burden to have so much money that you can do whatever you want in your life. Did you realize how frivolous it is?
I actually think...
Very easy for you to say.
No.
Very easy.
I know it's easy for me to say, but I'm not...
Me. Specifically you, yeah, yeah, Tom.
Yeah. All I'm saying...
Want your money back.
All I'm saying is the opposite is also true in to say, like, the American dream or those kind of systems where you say, like, you know, if you work hard enough, you could have anything, and they use money as the example of, like, that's what success is. It's just tricking the poor into doing, you know, into that. You know, like, money's obviously very handy and, you know, security is good.
But regardless, the guy that fought his way through the box carts to get that money, that's going to be a more worldly person. He could be a meaner human being, but he himself is more together than this lazy pudding pop that sits around using family welfare and also usually is going, I hate it when, like, doll blood just sit around and take that. Dad, can I have $7,000 to go to Fiji for the weekend?
I reckon you're using, like, I might be using what the high class have been pushing around for centuries. You're using the same argument that capitalism has been pushing for a long time, which would be that if you, you know, that exact same line, that you're more worldly if you start from the bottom and work up, and that, you know, you'll appreciate your success way more if you do
you
it like that.
Will.
Well, you might.
There's no way you... How could you appreciate it? It's like a... Does a fish appreciate water? Do they, Tom?
Well, that's the thing.
Answer,
like,
that rhetorical question.
I don't think fish appreciate. Are that intelligent.
Yeah.
Are fish intelligent?
I'm just saying, like, if you start off knowing what money is, you don't value money, and it's not necessarily a good thing to value money. You know, like, to a point, it's good to value it. But don't you know what I mean? Like, if the person has no appreciation of that money, you know, that you can buy anything, then they'll use their mental thought for other things. You know?
No, they'll just use it for bullshit, though. They'll never focus. Money drives you to focus your mind on something until you achieve a goal that is far surpasses what your environment would allow you to normally have. That is the one good thing that you could say about money in terms of its personal development. It forces you to push yourself to greatness.
Well, I think there will be some people that push themselves and there'll be some people that don't. And I think it's just I don't think...
But there's no way that somebody from a privileged background would ever push themselves anywhere near as hard as someone from a working class background.
Two words.
Like, okay, look at the... What?
No, I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure there are.
I mean, think about it. In all of George Bush's senior cabinet, who are the two people that everybody admires the most? Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell.
Do they? Yeah. Right.
Who do you ever hear saying, Rumsfeld, that was the guy. You know, there's a guy that you can look up to. He used to stand up while he was working. Now, that's hard.
No one looks up to Condoleezza Rice.
I do.
Do you look up to Condoleezza Rice?
I think that... Are you sure?
Do people not? I don't really know anything about it, but like, I mean,
I don't think anyone looks up to anyone from the Bush presidency.
Really?
But if you were to look up to somebody,
well, somebody does. But like, do you?
If you were to look up to someone, who would you look up to? George Bush, whose dad was also president.
Yeah.
Or Condoleezza Rice, who worked her way up from the South, had an Oprah upbringing, really.
I just think it's unfair to just dismiss someone's entire life because of where they've come from. So, for instance, like, say Robbie...
No, which you
know. Say Robbie is, like, a musician, right? We've talked about this in the past. If you wanted to be a... it's, like, Robbie is, from here on, banned from achieving anything in an artistic sense because he comes from a privileged background. As in, like, his parents were fine, his upbringing was fine. It seems as though the only way you're allowed to, like, justify doing anything is if you literally come from nothing. So it's really hard. Like, it's unfair.
But it is way more impressive somebody who is poor making their way to the top. You're just marred by it. If you're a rich guy, you're marred by it for the rest of your life, and nothing you do would impress me.
But I think it depends what you do as well. Like, for instance, like Robbie again, say he went on to be a really successful musician. You couldn't really say like, oh, well, you know, he had, you know, a fairly well-off family. So then, you know, that's not impressive because he'd have other pressures put on him. Like, for instance, to do music in the first place. Well, I'm sure like your family would have been much more supportive of like an artistic kind of career path, while Robbie's wouldn't have been. So for Robbie to achieve that would be definitely a more difficult task because everything around his micro life would be pushing him against doing that.
No, Robbie can pay his way into the musical world. Look at him.
But that's the
with
thing.
With his shirt that has 70% of the buttons of what it should have. You loaded walking money bags.
Check but it out. Yeah, like we were saying, there's kind of like, oh my God, don't show your chest.
My chest.
Yeah, I can see it.
There's a lot of moles on your body, Robbie. Oh, I would God's really sake. Get that checked out.
Yeah, I'm going to go see a skin specialist.
Good.
Yeah.
But then your problem is then, like, to move on from that, is the thing of, like, personally left or, like, socially left. So then what you express to be to everyone else and then how you personally live or how you vote to how you... to you, how you are. So it's kind of like the
yeah,
really
here's my privilege. Hierarchy of human being.
Okay.
If you are personally right wing, as in you bring yourself up by your own bootstraps, you don't try and ask for anybody else's help, you're really hard on yourself and really kind on others, as the old Japanese saying goes, that's somebody who is personally right wing but societally left wing. That is the ideal human being. Then after that comes, it's so weird for me especially to say this, personally right-wing and societally right-wing, at least, at the very least they can say, yeah, well, at least I'm doing it, so why aren't the rest of these fuckers doing it? And you can go, yeah, well, actually, that's a really good point. The next one down is personally left and socially left. This is where all these regressive left-wing people lie. And you're pulling back the whole movement because of what a shameful human being you are.
Why are they shameful? I don't see why they're so bad.
Because it's, again, like, if you're personally left-wing, you're kind of really just a lazy piece of shit.
Oh, my.
Let's be real about this. But it's like, if you're societally left-wing, completely different story.
Because you're supporting, you know, homeless people.
You've got empathy for other human beings.
Yeah.
Really what it means.
Yeah. But at least you're being honest then to be like, I'm supporting everyone else. They should support me. Like, it's a kind of a very communal way of seeing the world.
Exactly. But it's just too hippie.
Right. Okay. And then the worst human.
The absolute worst human being. And this is where all of those privileged North Shore kids lie.
Mm.
Personally left-wing, societally right-wing, the worst.
Yeah, this was a really good point because it was like you're saying that they'll express values as though everyone should be right-wing and look out for themselves. And
hate all these dull bludgers taking money from the government.
Yeah.
They're taking thousands off their parents. They'll just have like a black credit card that they did not earn.
Yeah, their doll is just their parents.
Yeah.
So they are.
So they're just dull bludges. Bloody bludges.
Yeah.
No. If you are even slightly fat, who?
You are Bilf.
So we're all on the same page then.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, I guess. Yeah.
Wow, that's really weird. I can't believe I don't think this has ever happened before.
I'd probably swap 2 and 3. I'd swap them around. I'd have socially left and personally left above.
Worse?
No, as being like preferable. And then preferable. I'd have right.
What does that mean?
What do you guys
left?
Think? Put in the comments section.
All right.
If you think personally right and societally right is better, put up a picture of Colonel Sanders. If you think socially left and personally left is better, put in a picture of Nando's.
Okay.
Don't you reckon that those would be the... If you were to ask those people in general, those two groups of people, what their favourite chicken shop is, that'd be it.
So, like, societally...
the right guys would like KFC heaps.
Yeah. Like, societally is how you see the rest of the world, and then personally... Or, like, how things should happen in government and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then... Personally, that's just how you would personally live your life. So you would.
Oh, right. You know, of course. Yeah.
Okay, good. So let's move on. Okay, so now, Robbie, you've got a segment you want to do.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so. Sunburn. We were at this festival yesterday. A little bit of clouds, and I noticed that I was a bit more sunburned than I usually would be. And I'm like, you know, what's up with that?
You're such a rural relative. Pretty much any segment that he ever talks about is either some dessert, a very cheap dessert, or it's the weather.
It is, isn't it? Food and weather.
Oh, well, you know.
Sorry, keep going.
Okay, well, yeah, so it's the sunburn. I got more sunburn than I usually would. It was cloudy. What's up with that? That's basically it. Are the clouds like glasses in the same way that, you know, you would burn an ant with a magnifying glass? Are the clouds a similar thing for us when you're outside?
Apologize for that. Apologize for that segment.
You've got to be kidding me. No. I know we have our fun times. Okay. Yeah. No, I know.
And you ended it.
We laugh and laugh. I get it. This is comedy. I get it. Right.
Yes.
I'm bringing up some serious weather chat here.
But it's supposed to be a comedy. There's nowhere to go with this segment. That's the end of
it. And you're wrong before you even start.
You could very easily look this up on Wikipedia. We do not need to be discussing this.
We're using the word social, okay? Comedy's out the window at that point, isn't it? When you say social.
What?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Your opinions are so based off nothing.
Just the vaguest chat. It's just
whatever rattles off the top of your head, that must be true.
And clouds, by the way, decrease the amount of UV light.
This is the result of a privileged upbringing, you know?
That's what you get.
These kind of sessions.
Like, it definitely... You don't get more sunburnt. You get more sunburnt from the water, but you don't get more sunburnt from clouds because they block the sun. There may be a similar amount. It doesn't decrease it as much as people think, but it's not more. It doesn't increase it.
Doesn't it? It's not like a magnifying glass.
No.
Again, Robbie... This time, I really mean it. You don't get to be on the mic next episode unless you apologize for this shambles of a segment. You do it. Don't you dare press that music.
No.
Are you... Get away from that. Oh, my God.
Episode 48 of the Defend the Shorties podcast.
You bastard! You son of a... Apologize!